As announced, the scripture reading this evening will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Again, that's the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Again, that was Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20.
Good to be with you again tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence. We are going to pick up our lesson from this morning. And I'm not going to keep you very long tonight. As I said this morning, we're just going to kind of wrap this up. But if you weren't here, we were dealing with this morning the golden rule. And it is a rule that most people know. They may not understand it. In fact, it is misapplied by most people, really. But many have heard of the golden rule. And so we find it in Matthew 7 at verse 12. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." This morning we made two applications of that, or pointed out two things with regard to the golden rule. It teaches us to think about others. And so that's very important. It's the only way we're going to really consistently apply this great rule. It all begins. It's not the end of it. It's just the beginning. But we have to learn and train ourselves to think about others. Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also to the interest of others." I like the King James, "Esteem others better than yourselves." And so if the idea, again, if we do that, we'll give others consideration. It won't be all about me. We won't be self-centered. We'll understand the value of those around us and therefore be in position to act accordingly. And so our second point then was that the golden rule teaches us to do good for others. And the emphasis there was the doing part of it. Yes, we have to think about other people. But as I said a moment ago, that's just the beginning. Ultimately, the golden rule is applied when we become doers. We have to be doers. I put on the screen how most people interpret this morning. "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would not that men should do to you, do not ye even so to them." And that's the way, when people think of the golden rule, that's sort of the way they apply it. That's how they hear it. And yet that's not what Jesus said. It is, we called it the silver rule. I didn't come up with that. It's been called that for years. But it is really practiced by a lot of different people. If you weren't here this morning, we put four or five different religions that have that as a law, the silver rule. But that's not what Jesus said. It's not just what we shouldn't do. It's about being active. It's about doing. And so tonight, just for a few minutes then, we want to look at some areas where we might apply this. Because, again, it's in the practice of this where we're really fulfilling the golden rule. So just for a few minutes, let's just quickly, we'll look at several areas where we can do this. And in the presence of the lost, we should practice the golden rule. And I'm talking about winning souls. I appreciate the good prayer by Jimmy. He made mention of our responsibility along those lines. And the fact of the matter is, we're surrounded by people who are lost. We know most people are lost. We know most people are going to be lost. Jesus, in this very chapter, in fact, in the next few verses that come after this, Jesus talked about that narrow gate, that narrow road. And so we understand that people are lost. What hope do they have? Really, the only hope that they have, of course, is the gospel. And in most cases, the only way they're going to hear the gospel is if we have the willingness to take it to them. Paul has a wonderful teaching in Romans chapter 10 about that, when he emphasizes that if we call on the name of the Lord, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he emphasizes, how are they going to call if they don't hear? And ultimately, we realize that we're the ones that have to take the gospel to a lost and dying world so that they will hear and have the opportunity at least to be saved. But if we're not doing it, who's going to do it? It is possible that an individual in this country that we live in, of course, we have ready access to the Word of God. We have Bibles, and almost everyone has a Bible in their home. And it is possible, and in fact, it has happened on rare occasions, when individuals have taught themselves the gospel. Like the Bible, when it comes down to God's plan of salvation, is very simple and understandable. And so again, a person could just start reading the appropriate passages and realize that they need to be baptized into Christ and obey the gospel. But the fact is, that's rare. In most cases, people are not going to come to Christ. People are not going to be saved from a devil's hell unless those who are already saved have the willingness to go and preach the gospel to them so that they can hear, believe, obey, so that they could be baptized and be saved. And so now the question is, if you were in their shoes, what would you want to have happen? What would you want those who are saved to do with regard to you? Knowing what we know about hell, we understand that hell is a reality. That if an individual dies in sin, they're not going to just cease to exist. It's not going to be just a slap on the wrist. They're going to spend all eternity in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of outer darkness. It is eternal destruction that we're talking about. And we know that. So if you were lost, what would you want the saved to do for you? And we all know the answer to that. We would hope that somebody would have the courage and the boldness and the love and the zeal to preach to us the gospel of Christ. But if that's what you want, would want other people to do to you, then you ought to be doing that to other people. That's the golden rule. And so, and listen, let me just say this before I go any further. The golden rule is one of these principles in the Bible, one of these rules that's easy to understand but hard to consistently apply. If you tell me, no, the golden rule is easy, that kind of gives me a hint. You're probably not practicing the golden rule at all. Because it's hard to do it consistently. And the fact of the matter is, there's probably not a person here tonight who hasn't at one time or another failed to practice the golden rule. I know for a fact I have. I know even when it comes down to the preaching of the gospel, there have been times when I have missed opportunities because of me, my own fault, where I didn't preach the gospel to someone. And I failed to practice the golden rule. The truth is, we all have done that. But what we want to do is make sure as we live our lives for Jesus Christ that we don't make a practice of that. that we always have the golden rule in our minds and in our hearts. Even next time you're around someone who is lost, you can just sort of talk to yourself. Remember the golden rule. Remember, if I was that person, what I would want me to do, and that is, of course, preach the gospel. And that might help you to actually do it. But it's hard. And we're going to fail from time to time. Don't be paralyzed by that. Don't allow your past failures from stopping you from doing what's right in the future. I don't want you to beat yourself up over the fact that maybe you have failed to practice the golden rule at times. We have all done that. That's why Paul in Philippians chapter 3, you remember when he was talking about forgetting those things that are behind, he was talking about the terrible mistakes he had made in the past, particularly the persecuting of the church. And now he thought about that. Like, I'm not saying you should dismiss the fact if you fail going forward even to practice the golden rule that you should just say, well, no big deal. No, you should feel bad about it. Don't allow it to paralyze you. And realize that it is hard to consistently and on every occasion to practice the golden rule. It's easy to understand. It's harder to apply. The fact of the matter is, we can do it, but we, again, need to talk to ourselves about it. Need to remind ourselves, okay, I'm going to, in this situation, I'm going to apply the golden rule. And everybody's different, particularly when it comes to personal work. Some people are more shy. Some people are embarrassed to speak out. Some people are a little fearful. We need to rise above all of those things and preach the gospel to the lost. So next time you're around a person, you know they're outside of Christ. You know that they're lost and headed towards that devil's hell. Remind yourself the golden rule. I need to do to this person what I would want this person to do for me. And that is preach the gospel. So it could certainly help us excel in the area of personal evangelism and soul winning. What about the home? One of the things that plagues marriages today is selfishness. And it's hard sometimes spouses get themselves in a situation where they're thinking more about self than they are their spouse. Especially when something goes wrong. Especially when there's some kind of disagreement. We get back to this thing where it's all about me. And sometimes things can get out of control and anger can come to play and we can become hostile and we can begin to treat each other in ways that we ought not. Janice and I have, through the years, sat before individuals who have all kinds of trouble in their marriages. And it is amazing sometimes that hostility can kick in. And now all of a sudden, even small things, even things that aren't all that serious become major issues because there's an atmosphere of hostility in the home. You know what can help with that? The golden rule. If every husband and every wife consistently treat their spouse the way they want their spouse to treat them. I'm talking about treating our spouse with respect, treating our spouse with understanding, with love. When you treat someone like that, there's going to be a healthy, even a magnificent marriage. And you know that's the way you want to be treated. I know I want to be treated with respect. I know I want Janice to understand me to the best of her ability. And I certainly want her to love me. But if that's the way I want her to treat me, then I better be treating her the same way. That's the golden rule. It can help us in our homes. And there's so many areas. In the local church, we need to practice the golden rule, don't we? Those same things that I just mentioned about the home, there's a lot of similarities between the home and a local church. Like, just like I was talking about a moment ago, that atmosphere of hostility that you find in some homes, you find that in some local churches too. And so it's the same thing. Sometimes little things that shouldn't divide brethren, little things that shouldn't cause a big problem, all of a sudden they become very explosive because there's that atmosphere of hostility. And that all comes by the way brethren treat each other. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every local church was filled only with members who simply treated others the way they want to be treated? That's the golden rule. And local churches would be far stronger, more strong, if everyone was practicing the golden rule. But we have to get this thing right. Again, whatsoever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. It's not whatever others do to you, do to them. That's not the golden rule, is it? That's a temptation. Well, I'll just treat him or I'll treat her the way she treats me. No. That's vengeance. That's problematic. But if all of us here at Brown Street, if we going forward, if we only treat our brethren the way we want them to treat us, again, with those same things, with respect and understanding and love, we won't have a whole lot of people problems. So far as I know, we don't now. But we want to continue that, don't we? The golden rule can help us with that, without a doubt. We can make application in the workplace. How do you behave when you're on the job? Away from brethren? Maybe you work at a place, there are no brethren anywhere around. How do you behave? Do you behave the way God wants you to? Do you practice the golden rule? Do you treat your co-workers? Like, this is not simply about brethren. Well, I have to apply the golden rule to my brothers and sisters in Christ, but you know those people on the job, they're ungodly anyway. No, there's no modifications with regard to this and people. We need to treat other people the way God wants us to. We need to apply the golden rule to everyone on the job. There can be a lot more peace, a lot more harmony if we practice the golden rule. It is the perfect place to practice that. Wherever we're dealing with people, we need to practice the golden rule in the community. Like, just in our daily living. When you're at a restaurant, how do you treat the waitress that brings your food late? Or your food is cold? Or maybe you think, well, that's not her fault. Yeah, or maybe she doesn't get the order just right. I've said before, I've been at restaurants with brethren, even preachers, who just get basically out of control with their response to waitresses, and you feel bad for the waitress. How do you treat the person? Or maybe it's someone who is checking you out at a grocery store. How do you, just in community, just in society, in your daily life, when you're at the bank or wherever you are, do you treat others the way you would want them to treat you? And do you do that consistently? It's easy to talk about. It's easy to think about. And again, the golden rule is easy to understand, but are we consistently applying it? And by the way, there's an element of this, as we have been saying, that is proactive. Like, if we're really going to practice the golden rule, we're going to have to be busy. Remember what I said this morning? Christianity is not for lazy people. We have to be doers. We have to actually do. And sometimes we don't. But let's do our very best to practice the golden rule. Remember, this is all found right in the, well, it's towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is all about kingdom characteristics. The church isn't yet established, but this is Jesus saying, when it is established, when the kingdom is set up, this is how citizens in the kingdom are to act. And that's the totality of the Sermon on the Mount. But this is one small part of it. The golden rule. We need to practice on a regular basis the golden rule. I hope that we will. I hope that we'll meet the challenge to apply the golden rule to every aspect, every relationship, every area of our lives. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. You can do that this very night. Why not obey the gospel and be saved? We're going to be singing the song, Are You Washed in the Blood? Make no mistake about it. It is that blood of Jesus Christ, the blood he shed on Calvary's cross that will wash away your sins. It is powerful blood. It is blood that will draw you near to God. It is blood that will allow you to be redeemed, to be bought back, and to enter into a new relationship with God. And you can do that tonight. But you have to contact it. And God put that blood, figuratively speaking, in the waters of baptism. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. You can be baptized into his death this very night. Why procrastinate? Why put it off? Someone has said procrastination is the thief of time, and of course that's right. You can't get time back. You might die before you have the opportunity to obey the gospel, but even if that's not the case, if you obey the gospel, let's say you're blessed and 6 months from now you obey the gospel, that's 6 months not being a Christian that you can never get back. Why waste time? Why not do what is best for you? Do what you know is right. Why not do it tonight? Obey the gospel. Be baptized into Christ. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.